This thing right here is letting Ryan know what the fans are talking about.
You know,
the finer strings in life.
Check it out.
Get it? Ooh, that man's so scandalous. And even Joe McHale couldn't handle it. Is he shaking that thong like who's the ish? With a look in your eyes, so Neanderthal-ish. He's all worked up about his crazy life. Got a lonely little girl and a crazy ass wife. He needs some support, if you know what I mean. Cause he's living with an Elon Loca. Head runs like ham hocks, hocks, hocks. Thighs like what? Has a thong up his butt. Let me sing it again. Has buns like ham hocks, hocks, hocks. Has a thong up his butt. All day long. Let me see that thong. Right, make it really go. What do you know you want to show? That thong, the thong, thong, thong. Make it really go. Right, make it really go. What do you know you want to show? That thong, the thong, thong, thong. Show that thong. Some business going on in your business, you know what I'm saying? The best moment of the week, I gotta tell you right now. Cameron Matheson's thong. This week on All My Children,
in the act off of the year, Cameron Matheson's thong upstages Debbie Morgan's weave with a pitch perfect performance on Wednesday.
Taylor finds out that Brad is alive, and fans everywhere are disappointed to hear that Colby still lives.
Angie catches David and Crystal playing 7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah, try 7 minutes in hell. And Reese's elf dance was totally gay. Get it? Gay?
Oh, I got it! That was a good one!
All this week
on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Watch so you don't have to. That is gospel to us here.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
When I talk about those certain teens, I get a little nauseous.
I miss chompers. Chomp, 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 chomp.
We have big mouths on the show. That's why we do the show.
Yeah.
We do the show because we have opinions, but at the core, we love the show.
Otherwise, why would we be doing
it? Why the hell would we do it?
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson. I hope she does. Maybe that'll teach her like to go take an acting class or something. You're gonna bleep me a couple of times tonight, I'm sure, because I'm feeling feisty.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending December 5th, 2008.
Woo! Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve.
I think All My Children definitely wants us to know that Christmas is around the corner.
Why would you say that?
All that damn Christmas carol music.
Oh, I know. You know, I felt that too. Like, I was noticing that everybody's starting Christmas early. All these companies are having their Christmas parties this week and everything.
Can I tell you something that's funny? I was telling Carlos this week that I've started watching people, One Life to Live.
Woo! One Life to Live!
I don't want to talk about it right now because it might ruin the rest of the program. I might just keep talking about One Life to Live, you know what I'm saying? And this is a show about all my children, and we still watch, so you don't have to.
Exactly, so you don't have to. And you know, you guys, we're taking a bullet for you, let me tell you, because this week,
right now,
I mean, we haven't been here 2 weeks. We missed last week, because last week they only showed 3 episodes.
And
it was Thanksgiving.
I do have a point, though, about watching One Life to Live.
What?
And I'm going to ask you a question, because you watch GH, too.
No, I don't watch GH.
Oh, you don't?
I only watch GH when Jeannie Francis is on.
Oh, okay.
I watch As the World Turns, Guiding Light, One Night to Live, and All My Children.
Well, because I noticed a lot of the editing is very similar for One Life to Live and All My Children. And for, in fact, on Wednesday's episode, there was all this Christmas music on both shows the same day. And then they have that same out, like, zoom.
No. One Night to Live has been having that out for a long time. All My Children all of a sudden started to bite off of them.
Really?
I swear to God. I know. One Night to Live has been doing that for the longest time. And now all of a sudden I notice All My Children's like ending their scenes like that too, with the whew, which I love. Because when One Night to Live does it, there's a reason for them to go. Yes. When All My Children does it, you're just like, thank God Kobe's forehead's off the TV
for
a while.
Well, they're like creating, seriously, her five head. It's like they're creating, trying to create something out of nothing.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, because there's no drama. So the drama comes from them going, Anyway, so much has been going on while we were away and backstage on All My Children. For those of you who don't know, Agnes Nixon, our dear Aggie, went public with the fact that AMC is broke. They are taking major pay cuts to cast even Susan Lucci to try to keep the show on the air.
That's sad.
Isn't that sad? And she shouted them out. Good for you, Aggie. I didn't even know she was still... She said that she's still a story consultant, which I'm like, she must. I hate to say it, but I wonder if she has like Alzheimer's, because how could she be a story? I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun of Alzheimer's, but because my aunt died from Alzheimer's, but how could you be the story consultant on your show and still let your show come out crappy like this?
Yeah, I agree.
How could you like not speak up, Aggie? Aggie, I'm very disappointed to find out you're still the story consultant, because you know you stepped in the last time when Megan McTavish was ruining your show back in the 90s. You came in there and like snapped everything around.
Maybe it's one of those things where, like, they call and they leave a message. Like, she doesn't work there. Like, they call and leave her a message on her voicemail. And they're like, okay, Aggie said we have this great idea that Dexter is going to get called pound cuts. And what do you think? Yeah, so call me. 2128 blah, 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 blah.
And she's like, oh, okay.
And she doesn't know the phone number. And she doesn't know. I tried to call you, but the number didn't seem to work. I couldn't hear your message. Well,
she probably left a message and like nobody called her back. She's like, can you repeat that? I didn't hear the storyline.
Storyline.
Well, she outed everybody. She let everybody know that Brian Fonz, like, they had to, like, Susan Lucci was taking a pay cut. Everybody. But the thing that was amazing that I forgot where I read this. I forgot what article I was reading. But one person made a valid point. All My Children's the only ABC soap that's taking pay cuts. One Light to Live isn't. General Hospital
and yet,
isn't.
From what we understand, the ratings aren't very different from the three shows.
All My Children's definitely dead last out of the three, but it's not like One Light to Live is like 12.1 and All My Children's like -0. You know what I mean? It's not that big of a difference. But I think the thing is that they budget better at One Light to Live. I think Frank Valenti takes a tight rein and he knows how to manage his money. Because let me tell you something, that show still has a bunch of extras in the background. That show still has a bunch of different sets, and that show has a big damn cast that's on almost every day, which I love. I feel like I'm watching an old fashioned soap opera when I'm watching One Light to Live.
Wow.
But look, this is my point. My point is, you want to save money? I'm going to tell you how to save money, Julie Crapothers.
No, hold on. This is Jordan's how many steps?
Let me see. I'm going to count them off as we go along.
All right, this is Jordan's
this is how you
step
save money.
Plan for saving All My Children.
First of all, stop paying an overpriced hack of a head writer like Chuck Pratt and get somebody like Claire Levine or Lorraine Broderick to be your head writer that's writing a good show that doesn't rely on special effects that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to make some stupid tornado that had no purpose whatsoever and write some really,
it really
gritty
had no
drama.
Because One Light to Live, kill Colby.
As far as I'm concerned,
if it killed Colby and Randy, I would have loved it.
I mean, I don't think that One Light to Live has used these special effects the way General Hospital All My Children has.
Me too.
My Children has done it twice this year with Jesse and Angie's wedding and now the tornado. Do you know how much money that must have cost for that? For what? For a couple of episodes? So we could see like Ryan and Greenlee like holding on to a pole as the wind was blowing? That's stupid. When I Tell It doesn't need all that. They have really powerful storylines where the actors are acting their ass off and it's dramatic and there's crying. That's what I want to see. I don't need to see no tornado. So save money that way. Second of all, get rid of characters that are not necessary anymore. I mean, I'm sorry, all you guys. Jackson Montgomery has run its course. Walt Willie has run its course. The man is making so much money. Somebody like Edmund and Maria, that's who you keep on the show. Jackson is over with. He's done. He is done. He's done. Aiden is done. I don't care. I don't know who the hell Aiden's sleeping with, but he is so done.
Put a fork in him.
Put a fork in him. He's done. Get rid of Kobe. Get rid of who else
Randy.
Can we get? Randy. Get rid of who else? I know there's a couple other people we want to get rid of. Who else do we want to get rid of?
Bring back Harmon.
Lord. Anyway, so that was a scandal. And then, of course...
Oh, bring back, like you were saying, Stuart.
Yes, yeah, so I was telling her that now that Myrtle's gone, we need like Stuart and Marion on the show. We need them to replace the Mona, the Myrtle. I mean, you can't replace those people, but that older character that's there to shell out advice, that's who Stuart and Marion are now.
Natalia.
Who's Natalia?
Get rid of Natalia. You hate Natalia. You say she's a bad actress.
Who is she?
Jessie's.
Oh, that girl. She doesn't even register to me. She's like, I forget. How can I remember her when she's never on the show?
Can I tell you something?
When do you see her?
Can I ask you a question?
When she's wearing her Ethel Mertz shirt from Connecticut? Did you see that episode?
All she wears is plaid.
I know. She loves looking like Ethel Mertz in those Connecticut episodes. I'm like, you sure she's not the lesbian? For those of you who don't know, it's a stereotype that lesbians like wearing like plaid and you know, boots. Work boots and stuff like that. She looks a little butch though, Natalia.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something.
She
right
licks.
Whoa, he's getting feisty.
I love my sister lesbians.
I'm gonna ask you a question.
Yes.
If your mama was dying and had weeks to live, would you be gallivanting around town, not living with her, and just like going about your business, having fun, doing this, doing that?
No.
No!
I know. I've been telling you that her character is stupid.
By her mother's side every day, every night. My mother was dying, I would be by her side every day, every night.
Oh, wait. And we got to give a tip of the hat to Cameron Matheson and his thong.
Oh, we going to talk about the thong.
For getting all my children onto the soup with Joe McHale. And not only onto the soup, because, you know, the soup has snapped on Passions for years because Passions always has these most ridiculous storylines and scenes. And now that Passions is gone, Bold and the Beautiful took its place. Because Bold and the Beautiful has had some stupid scenes. But now Bold and the Beautiful has been dethroned. And I don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing, but All My Children has taken its place. And not only did All My Children take its place, but All My Children was the clip of the week. And not only the clip of the week, but somebody actually wrote into Mr. Joe McHale and said, you gotta watch Wednesday's episode of All My Children. He's wearing a thong.
People, if you haven't seen the blog,
if you haven't tuned the soup.
I mean, if you have not, you must.
Oh my God.
YouTube Wednesday's episode. Greenlee and Ryan are going on and on. We can't be together. We gotta focus on what's important. Emma and everything else and Danny and all that stuff. And all boohoo, woe is us. We two rich, pathetic, beautiful people. Oh, woe is us. Anyway, Ryan is sitting there. He's not wearing anything special, mind you.
It's a turtleneck and jeans that you told me, right?
A turtleneck, a gray turtleneck, and a pair of old looking ratty jeans.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up, and it was funny because. It's funny because you told me about it before I even saw the episode.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like watching the entire episode. Like, I'm not even removing one eyeball from the screen whenever he's on. And I see him kind of playing with that sweater. Like, it's not over his butt. It's kind of like at his waistline.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting down and he's crying a Greenlee about he has to focus on his daughter and blah, blah, blah. And he gets up. And you know how when you get up, sometimes there's a little gap between your pants and your shirt? The little gap reveals a thick black thong string in the center of his ass. I know what you want to say. I was cracking up. I loved it, first of all. It was the most entertaining thing all week in a month of All My Children. It was so entertaining. I loved it. I rewound it about 82 times and giggled like a little girl every time.
In Mr. Cameron Matheson's defense, we don't know if it's definitely a thong. For those of you who do not know about couture underwear, like Calvin Klein and CN2, they do make these underwears that are kind of like a jock strap.
Underwears?
Yeah, like a jock strap. They look like a jock strap. So
why
it could come
does
across.
He need a jock strap?
Because.
Stuffing his underpants?
No, it's not about stuffing, girl. I know about these things because I'm Latin and I have a male J-Lo booty.
And I
do not like any obstruction back there. In other words, no panty lines. So I think that because you know he has, I gotta say, Cameron Matheson. But wait,
shorts.
No, girl. Let me.
Straight
all right, girl. Let me know.
Straight
no,
men
no
do.
That's a bullshitting lie. Let me tell you something. No. Straight men that are metrosexuals would not wear boxer shorts, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because I have to tell you, nothing looks more attractive, nothing looks less attractive than looking at a guy and seeing his pants, and it looks like he took a dump in his pants.
No.
When you wear boxers, that's what it looks like on a guy. A guy with boxers looks like he took a piece of shit on himself.
A little of the
I hate that.
Itself.
No.
It's sexy.
No. If you a white boy with no ass, that looks hot.
Can I tell you something?
But when you're a man who's Latin or black or a white guy with some booty, that does not look pretty, girl. Let me tell you. When you have a butt like mine, you cannot be having no obstruction there.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
I have CN2 underwears that are super, 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 super tight. So see, there's no panty lines. See?
Listen,
no, do you see panty lines?
I don't care.
There's no panty lines there.
I don't care. A real man has panty lines. A real man wears proper underwear.
No, that is proper underwear.
Listen.
I went through my G-string phase when I was a go-go boy.
Oh, my God. Jordan Hudson, can I remind you, respectfully remind you of something?
What?
When was the last time you slept with a woman?
About 5 years ago.
And what was the last time before that?
Before that?
Yeah.
Well, it was 5 years ago, and then before that, 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so in the last 10 years, you've twice slept with a woman.
No, I used to sleep with women all the time. All
right, fine. I'm going to tell you something.
What?
For all your ladies out there that are of the heterosexual persuasion like me.
Oh, Lord.
If you were to get in bed with this green man, and you were so excited, and you peeled off his pants, and he had the body of an Adonis, and you peeled off his pants, and when you peeled off his pants from the back, you just felt bare buttocks, and you realized he was wearing a thong, that would be the most unsexy thing in the world. I would scream. I would run from the room screaming. It's weird.
I don't know what you want to tell me.
It's weird.
I don't know. When I like a person, I don't give a damn what they're wearing. I just like them.
If they're wearing thong underwear, what if you were with a man and he was wearing ladies' panties?
That wouldn't bother me.
Really?
I don't get. See, you have to understand something. I don't look at. I like a person. I don't like. I don't care like how much money they have or what their nationality is or you
if
know
I slept with a man
or
and
what
he
they're
was wearing.
Wearing
his panties, I'd be a little wigged out. Be a little freaked out. I would. I'm sorry. Listen, people. You could write me letters and educate me.
I would say now.
It, but
I don't want to go there because it's going to get too controversial.
I am a woman who likes an old-fashioned manly man, and an old-fashioned manly man don't wear no G-string panty.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think boxers are ugly.
Oh, come on.
And I think
now.
A man in boxers, unless they're a white boy with no butt, because they're cute. Those skater boys, yeah, they're cute with their little boxers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but they don't have no ass. That's why they can wear their little boxers, the skater boys.
Cameron Matheson, you kind of gross me out. No offense. I love you.
Cameron Matheson, I got to tell you, I don't find you attractive, but damn, you got a good ass. He has a beautiful ass.
He has a beautiful, meaty
ass. Like, if I could cut off his head, I'll take the rest of him. Yeah, I don't. His face doesn't do it for me.
Neanderthal, as our bloggers like to call him.
His face doesn't do it for me. Mm. I like the body, but. And I'm not a body person either. I'm not a body person, but.
No?
No.
What person are you?
I like the aura and the energy that a person sends out.
I'm about
chemistry. I don't.
He like Jordan Hudson like if you, all types of different guys.
If you
right?
and if you like saw everybody that I like, none of them look alike. Except for those Kane siblings. I like Josh and I like Kendall.
Do we want to talk about the Canes at all?
Let's start with the Canes.
There's not much to tell.
Well, first of all, we have to recap for those of you who didn't. Well, no.
Oh, yeah, we do have to start with.
We have to start. Yeah. You know what? Let's start. What are we going to start with?
We got to start with Annie.
Because Annie, I got to tell you, Melissa Clay Egan, you rock. You rock, girl, because you're the only one that understands how to like deal with this kind of shitty ass material that they're giving you. She rocked it as far as I'm concerned. She made me laugh. She made me cry. She was the only one who was believable because God knows Greenlee wasn't.
This is what I thought about it. Meh.
It was campy. It was very old school. My children, the character going insane.
I don't care for any of it anymore. That's my problem.
I only care for it because of her. I don't like everybody else. Ryan annoys me. Greenlee annoys me. Adam annoys me.
The whole story annoys me.
Yeah, but I love her.
She's good.
Those fantasies that she was having at Wildwind.
That was fun.
You told me you liked that.
I did like it.
You said you wish that was real.
Well, I wish it was real because I wanted a real Thanksgiving, because Jordan Hudson pointed out we didn't get no Thanksgiving. Just One Life to Live had Thanksgiving in every storyline.
Oh, wait. No, no. Not just One Life to Live. All my soaps except for All My Children gave me Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Guiding Light gave me a beautiful Thanksgiving with Kim Zimmer giving a beautiful monologue about life and moving on and being thankful for what you have. As the World Turns gave me a Scandalous Family Snyder Thanksgiving with a family with secrets and stuff and brouhaha going between people, because that's how Thanksgivings really are. That's how my Thanksgiving was. Yeah. And then all the Snyder kids that weren't there made phone calls to Emma and the rest of the kids that were there, and you heard them go, oh, hi. They like these siblings that have not been on the show forever, but they call their mother and the family that was there, and I thought that was beautiful. And then, as you pointed out, One Night Till have had the most amazing Thanksgiving.
I loved it.
And what did we get for Thanksgiving on All My Children?
A flashback. Or
No, we didn't get anything.
We got a psychotic induced.
We got a psychotic stabbing people why don't they close down Confusion? How many people have died in Confusion in the last 3 months?
It's disgusting. And they were still playing music at the end of the night.
And then what was really creepy?
Well, let me ask you a question before we move into that.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the days of Ruth Martin?
I can't talk about that because I'm gonna cry. I'm not. You don't understand how much this hurts me about All My Children right now. I'm sorry, you guys don't understand that All My Children, because we have to bring up the blog, because I need to quote something from the blog.
I'm gonna
tell you guys, this is what really hurts me, is that you guys don't understand that All My Children I have been watching since day one, even though I was like basically in my mother's womb. I knew everything that was going on because my mother was watching All My Children. So literally when I came out and the doctor slapped my ass, I said, Erica! That was my first words. I didn't even cry. I just said, Erica! And I mean, it kills me every time that I have to watch All My Children and I'm seeing what I'm seeing. And I'm not seeing my Brooke. I'm not seeing my Martins. I'm not seeing my Tylers or the Cortlands. It unnerves me. It disturbs me. And yet when I watch One Night to Live, there are the Buchanans. Mm-hmm. There are the Lords. There, you know, there's the families that have been on the show for years and years. And where are even the new families on All My Children? Where are the Santos? Where are the Grays? They're all gone.
They're gone.
All gone. And, you know, with Myrtle being, you know, our dear Eileen is gone. And they're going to write Myrtle off, kill her off.
They are, right?
Yeah, they are. And so, it's going to happen this week. And from what I hear, not this week, maybe next week or this month, 19th, something. The 19th. Okay. Well, this is what I got to say, because one of our bloggers, it was N69N, one of our bloggers had put on the blog, I guess an interview, an article from Where Are They Now, All My Children, Peter White. Peter White, for those of you who don't know, was Link Tyler. He was one of the Tylers, Phoebe's, I think, what was he, either Phoebe's son or nephew or something like that. Anyway, and him and Kitty were like the star-crossed lovers, and they killed Kitty off, and then Francesca James played Kitty, and they brought Kitty back as Francesca James back as Kelly, Kitty's twin sister, and Kelly and Link fell in love, and Kelly and Kitty knew Myrtle, and that's how Myrtle came to town, and Myrtle was interested. They used to have all these scenes together, and this is what Peter White said. I started in the show around 1974, White recalls of his early days on All My Children. When Eileen came on and we all realized we were going to have our storylines together, forgive me for saying this, but that's when soaps, including All My Children, were really good. I don't excuse you for saying that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, because the show, when you guys were on, the show was so incredibly written, so beautifully acted, so intense, so beautiful. You don't need to excuse yourself for saying that. You know what? You're absolutely right. The show is horrible right now. He goes on to talk in length about his relationship with Eileen and stuff, and that got me to thinking about how much All My Children means to me.
He's gonna cry.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to, but it is disturbing to see how bad this show is getting again. And I disagree with everybody. I'm not saying that Barbara and James were perfect, but after the mess that Megan McTavish made of the show last year, they cleaned up. They turned it around. There was something there. And now Chuck Pratt's destroying it again, as far as I'm concerned. I really can't take Adam and Erica being forced together. I can't take these
Taylor
stupid...
Taylor, I'm sorry. Taylor and Jake being forced together.
Yeah, all these stupid storylines. And all I want is to see my families again. I want to see, you know, the holidays were always so beautiful in All My Children, because they would bring all the past cast members back. I remember, like, if a certain family member wasn't on the show, they would bring them back for the holidays. You see Link and Kelly come and visit Phoebe at Christmas time. You see Donna come back to town to visit people. And All My Children doesn't do that anymore. They don't do that. And I'm sorry. This show is horrible. I don't know how you people could watch it and think that there's anything remotely good about it. I mean, God, even Greenlee wants out. Rebecca Budwig is, like, giving nothing. You could tell how and what pisses me off is that we did snap on Sabine. We did snap on Sabine because, you know what, Sabine wasn't Greenlee, and that wasn't her fault. That was the way the character was being written.
We always liked her.
But we never said that she couldn't act. It wasn't like the way we feel about Colby.
I might have said that.
It's not the way we feel about Brianna Mongrie. She was definitely not dead behind the eyes. No. She was just a hard pill to swallow as Greenlee when you remember Rebecca Budwig.
She was pretty big.
Yeah, she was big. But the thing is, at least she wanted to be there. Yeah, you know what I mean?
She loved being there.
So you got rid of her and you brought back an actress who, again, I liked Rebecca, but you give her nothing to do for the first few months that she's on.
No. The first, like, 8 months, she's still getting over Aiden, and she's almost a year into the show.
I mean, gave her
that
nothing.
That should have been ended immediately. I know. That boulder should have fallen on his head.
You gave her nothing to do. And except being a coma, and then put her with an actor beneath her.
You know how she Sabine drove into a sea of boulders? Have a giant boulder fall on Adam's head immediately. Mm-hmm. As soon as she gets better and she's so happy with Adam, have a boulder fall on him. And then in her grief and anxiety and anger, she is thrown into the arms of another lover. Zach.
No, Jake. Her and Jake should have been put together.
Jake.
See, this is the thing. If they would have probably put her with Jake and given her a good storyline with him, she would have probably wanted to stay. I believe that the reason she wants to go is because she realizes this is a sinking ship, people.
Yep.
A sinking ship. And if we don't complain, if we don't write in to Brian Franz, if we don't demand some changes on All My Children, we are going to lose our show that we love so much.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
What? I'm sorry.
Well, listen, for all of y'all,
I get emotional. It's all my children.
But listen, I want to say that for all of y'all that, you know, maybe a little disappointed that we've been a bit negative on the show lately, I hope that what Jordan says and how he feels resonates with y'all. I mean, he cares. We care about the show.
We
love the show at its core, but what it's become is very hard for us. It's very sad.
Well, because I don't feel that they care about us. I don't feel that Julie Haran Carruthers and Chuck Pratt or Brian Foss care about us.
She can suck it.
Suck it.
Julie
suck it. Suck it.
Brothers, suck it.
How many ways can we say we want our Dixie back? We want our Brooke back. We want our Josh back. They're claiming that Josh is coming back.
I heard only for a few episodes.
See, that annoys me.
That's what I heard.
That annoys me.
I don't know.
All right, I'm sorry.
Julia should never have been killed.
Dixie never should have been killed.
I mean, you know.
And for those of you who want to visit the alternate reality of All My Children, I posted the first part of it on the blog. Let me know what you think.
www.pinevalleypodcast.blogspot.com.
And I promise I'll post the rest of it this week. You haven't read it yet, have you?
No, I haven't read it.
You gotta read it. Let me know what you think. It's okay.
It
came to me last week. I was like, this show's still salvageable. I could turn it around like that and make it number one.
That's the thing. You and I talk all the time, and we think it could be so easy.
It is so easy. You just need to write.
Not even just that, though.
Get good storylines and good actors.
What is missing on this show is if I have to change my channel and see Erica try to make Randy into a supermodel, I'm going to vomit. Who the cares about Randy? Nobody does. She is a terrible act. I don't care. All you Denise Vasi fans, she's the most beautiful thing since sliced bread. I agree. She can't act. I'm sorry. She leaves me cold.
Let me tell you, IMDB'd her. There's some pictures that she is not that attractive. She looks beyond ghetto.
Well, anyway.
I was so like, that's her?
Colby, I gotta change my channel and watch her act. And to be honest with you, I'm gonna be honest with you, and you're gonna get mad at me.
What?
I'm not really all that interested in Amanda. Not anymore.
You know why?
Why?
Because they're ruining her character. All right, it's a stupid storyline. It's dumb. It makes no sense. It's horrible. And it's making her. Well, we have not been interested in JR in a long time. I mean, they totally have messed up his character.
I'm interested in Adam only if he's with Crystal. That's it. I'm sorry. That's it.
Adam?
That's a storyline I can get behind. Adam and Crystal. No?
Yes! Well, you think I want? I don't buy David and Erica. I don't buy David and Chris. I would buy David and Erica before I buy David and Crystal.
And the whole thing, we were talking about it too, Jordan, about David, how one note his character is now.
They're making him so one note. He's such a good actor. He's the villain that everybody hates. Everybody in town has a bone to pick with him. He's getting in everybody's business. Now it seems like he might know
when
Randy.
When you're in a scene, they're so great.
They're so talented.
But the material is so horrible.
The material is weak. I give them both credit for making more out of the material. See, that's what good actors do. They know this is a piece
of... Listen up, Rebecca Budding.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my God. I can't believe you. See, this is how good we are. We are always on the same page like that. I was just going to say that because...
He thinks that I say it and vice versa.
Because you got to, like... Sometimes you got to. If it's not there, you got to make it there. You gotta make it there, and as much as it's there's
Annie
not
does
enough.
That too.
There's not. Yeah, Annie does
She's very
it.
Good about that.
Let me tell you something. I gotta tell you, I know we all used to snap at her and call her Blandy because she was her character
was
so boring.
Bad.
But she has been the most exciting thing on this show for months now with this storyline.
I'll say it again.
I love her. She
I'm
cracks me up. All right, let's start. We gotta get into the recast.
We're half hour into the show. We're
All right, let's start.
All right, we didn't cover last week where she really went off the deep end. I love the moment the week before, I should say, where she puts the lipstick on, the crazy lipstick.
Yeah.
Why do crazy women always have to do their lipstick outside the borders of their lips?
Because like, it's supposed to show that they're crazy and they can't see in the mirror and see the reality of the situation.
What's that woman from Sunset Boulevard?
Norma Desmond.
That's right. It's like her.
It's
always like that.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille.
Yes, and that's what she kind of, that's what Annie kind of said. She goes... Wait a minute. Wasn't Annie on the loose and everyone was looking for her?
Well, because remember, when we left you last, Annie jumped off the balcony.
She made it.
She made
it. Jamie says she made it.
Is that at a penthouse apartment, though?
Ridiculous.
Wait, don't they live in a penthouse apartment?
I really don't know. But she made it. She's like Halle Berry in Catwoman. She made it. Anyway... Annie somehow, even though she's on America's Most Wanted list, she somehow makes it no problem just walking into confusion, somehow stabs Erica, and then goes in, and nobody tackles her. She's 105 pounds of nothing.
Everybody was just watching her. This is the thing that annoys me about all my children this week, is that we keep having scenes that we keep missing. They don't show us. And for instance, we never see Annie confront Erica. We don't see Annie stab Erica. Where was all that material?
Dumb.
Oh, you no, got
that's
it.
Because Erica was on Dancing with the Stars. She didn't have time to film that footage. She had no time to film that footage.
Oh my God. But Annie cracked me up. She was so funny.
She was making Ryan say their vows, and she was so excited to see everybody and everything. So great.
But see, this is what I mean. She was giving a performance, and everybody around her was looking like an idiot.
They all were looking so stupid.
None of them were like reacting. They were all just looking like at her, like with no reaction. And let me tell you something. That cop that was working with Jesse, the Italian-looking one, he was hot. AMC gets some hot extras in Under Fives, I gotta say. Right, the background extras in Under... Some of them are hotter than the principals.
Some of the women, though, oofa.
Oh, I don't know.
That assistant that helped Zach with the package... I thought she was a hot tranny mess.
I don't remember her.
Oh my God.
I try to block out Zach's scenes. I don't.
Ooh.
All I know is that my eyes were like, when Annie wasn't speaking, my eyes were on that cop. He was hot.
Well, I love how Erica was stabbed. She even gets stabbed very beautifully. Her body was draped out, and she was just.
And there was just a little bit of blood.
A little bit of blood trickling. Not very much.
Not very much.
It wasn't very messy.
And who found her?
Jake.
Because he's MacGyver. He put two and two together. He said, Annie has a knife and there's blood on it. That means somebody must have been stabbed. That means that while all of them are standing around, I should go looking for that person.
And he sees little like paw prints of blood. Like three of them. It was pretty fun. I like when Binks rushes over to her. Now, Binks is a very womanly woman. We've said it on the show before. She used to be anorexic. I'm going to say it right now. She used to be anorexic. She was like a size zero, and her hands were red. She was anorexic, but now she's a normal, healthy girl.
She's voluptuous.
Thank God.
Like a Latin man likes her. She got some curves on her.
She should wear a Playtex bra, though. She is looking she's looking saggy. I'm sorry.
Huh?
She should not be looking saggy.
Does she have a baby in real life?
No. No.
Oh, because she's having that I just had a baby body look.
She does, right?
Right?
A little bit doughy.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
But still, listen, people, don't get mad at me. Still beautiful. I still prefer it. The only thing that's a little odd about it
is that Tim Burton head she has. She looks like, you ever see those Tim Burton cartoons? Like the corpse, the bride, the what is that? What's that one called? The corpse bride or whatever?
I like her.
I like her too. I'm not saying, I think those Tim Burton cartoon characters are cute.
Oh, shut up. The only thing I don't like, she's a little too big for Reese. Like the dynamic is off, right? Because she's so big. She looks, dare I say, a little oafish around Reese, because Reese is like 92 pounds.
No, I don't think it's Bianca. I think it's Reese. Reese needs to put on some weight. I said this on the blog, and somebody agreed with me. I used to watch General Hospital religiously when she was on. I do not remember her being this skinny. There was a scene that she had with Zach where she wasn't even standing sideways. She was full frontal, and it looked like she was standing sideways. And it unnerved me. They had her in this long, like, green sweater, I think it was the thing. And all I know is that I got chills looking at her. I found it very, very disturbing to watch her. She is way, way too thin.
Way too thin.
I'm sorry. That is unheard. Even Simone and Kendall never looked like that. I gotta tell you, it's very disturbing. I don't know. I mean, I don't like to think that people are anorexic, but...
She needs to eat something. It's all in the hands, people. When you're skinny like that, the circulation is off and your hands are all red and clammy.
Tamara Braun is beautiful. She should eat something. I'm sorry. And you know what? Is the kids watch these shows. You know what I mean?
I don't want
girls watching this show and thinking that this is on all my children for casting so all. Yeah, but they watch the show and they see everybody else looking so super thin, including Susan Lucci and Brandy, that they're going to think that's what it means like to be a woman.
She's got a badonga-dong butt, though. I seen her.
That's how Latin, Puerto Rican, Dominican side.
That's right. She's got it all.
She may be Greek up there, but she's Latin down. Well, Greeks got butt. Jennifer Aniston has a butt.
No, she
Greek
doesn't.
Women have butts. I saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, and Jennifer Aniston wasn't in it.
No, but all the Greek women in that movie have butts.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you one thing.
What?
Jerkson didn't seem all that freaked out about Erica being stabbed.
Nobody did.
Adam seemed
It was ridiculous. But it was all ridiculous dialogue and ridiculous. Like their reactions were so awful.
You know what I thought about?
What?
I thought it was a good thing that Erica's swimsuit modeling days are over.
Because of the scar that it was leaving. That was a butter knife that Annie had on her hand. It looked like Annie had a butter knife. It wasn't even
practically my favorite moment, other than the thong moment, because that was a favorite moment of forever. My favorite moment was when Insani threw the bouquet after her quote unquote wedding was over.
No, but you gotta remember, she goes, wait a minute. I forgot to throw my bouquet. Melissa Clay, you can rock. Oh my gosh, she cracked me up.
She throws the bouquet and it goes slow-mo, tumbling, and it hits Greeley in the chest and it falls to the ground and the crowd goes, oh.
It was great. Melissa Claire Egan, I love you. If they were smart, they would keep your character on the show because they need you the way Guiding Light had a crazy Annie a few years back and she was big too. We loved Annie on Guiding Light.
Well, what I loved was how Greenlee slapped David, but you know what? Jordan Hudson reminded me of the history of David and Greenlee and there was nothing mentioned after that. It was just like done.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. They cut... She slaps him. They go to commercial, and when they come back, they're both in different places. Where's this follow scene with those two? I mean, I think this is like the first time the two of them have even had a scene together where they're actually talking. Seriously? And they were close at one point.
They were very close.
And it was nice.
Brother.
I know, and it was nice that David mentioned Leo. That's what, for those of you who didn't watch the show, that's what triggered Greenlee slapping David, because David was berating Ryan and blaming Ryan for Annie's behavior, and then he told Greenlee, you know, what would Leo think of this? And Greenlee, for the first time, acknowledged the fact that Leo existed. And I'm loving it, and then nothing comes of it.
Yep.
It was just that brief moment of excitement that I got, and then nothing.
Well, then they all head to the police station from confusion.
With Jesse.
And it continues to go nuts. And I was struck by the fact that Greenlee and Ryan seemed surprised that she's so friggin' nuts.
No, you know what? I seem surprised that Greenlee felt the need to go to the station at all. You know this woman is obsessed with you. You know this woman has issues with you. And you had to go and torture her.
She's all up in everyone's grill, that little
And lady. Then she sees that her reaction, like, she sees that Annie's calm until she sees her. And Annie gets upset and Greenlee still stands there. Seeing, you know, like a normal person would be like, all right, you know what? I should go. No, she just stands there looking at her and lets her go crazy for a couple of more minutes.
You're right.
And then eventually she's like, okay, I torture her enough. Let me go now. I'm beginning to hate Green. I want Annie to kill Green Lane. I'm rooting for you. I'm on your side, Annie. These bitches have made your life horrible and your marriage horrible.
What if she went off the ravine where Leo died and joined Leo?
Who, Green Lane?
Yeah.
Look, I'm still, look, he doesn't work anymore. He has no show. His only thing is that he's getting married to Fergie. I hope that he's respectful enough to help all my children out by coming back for like an episode at least.
He would never in a zillion trillion years. He should. It would be career suicide.
Let me tell you.
He is a major, major, major motion picture star.
Let me tell you something.
He is an A-list celebrity.
Okay,
can I? Not even B-list people.
He's not an A-list. What movie has he done? I Married Tad Hamilton. That was like 8 years ago.
People.
Oh, please. That's a garbage movie. That's a...
That is an A-list movie.
I don't do blockbuster movies. It made
that,
money. It's not A-list.
That brown-haired guy.
Shia LaBeouf?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf?
He was next to him.
I don't like him either. Oh, please. Anyway, he's no A-list.
Yes, he is.
Look.
Yes, he is.
Other people have come back to the soap. Kim Delaney says she would come back to All My Children. Nobody asked her. But now she's on Army Wives. Could you believe that? She'd be willing to come back. I would love for Jenny and Greg to be. If it meant seeing Larry Law and Kim Delaney together, I would in a minute.
Nah, that's too much for me.
He's doing so good on As the World Turns. I love his storyline.
I want him back. And
you know who started on Guiding Light this week?
Who?
Or last week, actually, Jeff Branson.
Oh, did he?
And let me tell you something.
He used to play people, Jonathan
Lavery. Let me tell you something. All My Children's Loss is Guiding Light's gain in spades. He is amazing as the new Shane. He has so much chemistry with Kim Zimmer. He had the most incredible scene Friday. And they put him with Gina Tognali, who plays Dinah. Can I tell you that this is the next super couple on daytime TV? These two have so much heat. Everybody leaves All My Children to become big soap stars. Because you know what? The other two on Young and the Restless are burning Young and the Restless up. Huh. Elizabeth Henderson and Billy Ray Miller. What was his name?
Billy Ray Miller.
Woo!
Woo! He's good.
Oh, it seems like that's the best thing that could happen to you, getting fired from All My Children.
I was hoping this week that when Annie saw Richie that he was really going to be there.
No, but he's on Young and the Restless, girl. Why would he come back? What? He's on an A-list soap. Scandalous.
Listen.
All right.
I got to do this recap.
All right.
It's driving me nuts. Ryan goes to see Annie at the hospital, and she acts crazier than crazy, and she is great. She blames the kidnapping on Richie, and she denies that she ever kidnapped Emma. And then the whole staff comes in, and they strap Annie down, and they inject her, and she's like, right now! She was great.
I know.
And then Aiden comes in. Aiden is wants to bust her. He tells Annie that she's faking it, and he tries to get her to reveal that she's sane, and she don't go for it.
Because she's really crazy.
I don't think she is.
I think she is.
I don't think she is, because you know why?
Why?
I know what happens.
No, come on. She has to be crazy. That whole dream sequence in Wild Wind with David.
She's crazy, but she is not completely gone.
No, I don't think she's completely
gone.
I don't think she's completely gone, but she's a little cuckoo, girl.
I agree, but she's not legit cuckoo. She still knows what she's doing. I think.
And we didn't...
That's not a spoiler, by the way!
We didn't see her knock David out. See, that's what I'm talking about, missing scenes. That was last week for the Thanksgiving. David busses her in Wild Wind, and they go to commercial, and the next thing we see is him knocked out on the floor and her gone. I want to see the scene where she knocks David out.
Prime time. He's used to moving so fast and skipping all this stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? This is daytime, you idiot. You got 200 and something episodes a year that you got to, like, you know what I mean? You're an idiot, Chuck Pratt. Suck it.
Suck it, Chuck Pratt.
Suck it.
Suck it.
All right, keep going.
Meanwhile, Greenlee comforts Emma, who has cut out the newspaper cover of her crazy-ass mom. I feel so bad for her. There's a nice scene with Greenlee. She did nice acting in that scene. Oh, you're over it, huh?
I'm over Greenlee and Ryan and Emma. I'm so over them. The three of them could leave as far as I can say. Matter of fact, I write them off on my version of All My Children. All
right, fine. I agree with you. Listen, then Cro-Magnon Ryan... Ryanzathal is our bloggers like to call. He comes in and tells Greenlee he has to focus on Emma and Annie for a while because everything is his fault, and I'm so sick of this wimp ass crying.
You know what though? That's the one thing that I liked. The fact.
That's where he told
when he I don't know if it was Jesse or somebody, he was telling somebody, he goes, "No, this is my fault. I let her on, and he actually took response. For once, Ryan took responsibility, because you know what? This is your fault. This is your fault, Ryan. All this is your fault. You put that poor woman through hell with your stupid shenanigans and never once took into heart her feelings and what she's going through, you selfish bastard.
Well, I agree with that. That would be a scene,
you thong-wearing bastard.
Right. You thong-wearing mother... You know what I'm saying? Listen, and then Aiden comes back in, and he tries to tell Annie that Ryan and Greenlee are sleeping together, and then Ryan's right there, and then she screams at him, and Jesse butts in. I don't really care at this point.
I did like when Jesse grabbed Aiden, because Aiden was eavesdropping when he was talking to Ryan, and Jesse just was like, did you hear all of that?
Yeah, but
I thought it was funny. For me. What?
Oh, did I tell you, viewers, that Zach told Ryan and Greenlee that he knew about Annie murdering Richie?
Yeah.
And he's gonna get away with that, because he just blew it off in front of Jesse. Jesse was like, that's Jesse. Illegal. I gotta tell you, that's not gonna fly with me. You know?
I love your Jesse.
What?
I love your Jesse. Your Jesse cracks me up.
I can't let it slide, Zach. Can't let it slide.
She kills me when she does it, Jesse.
Hey, but don't you think they're just gonna drop it? Like,
yeah, they don't. Of course they're gonna drop it. This is all my children.
One thing I liked all the shrinks coming together and determining that Annie needs to be committed.
I like that one doctor, because he made a valid point that this is all done from issues of abandonment as a child.
Yes.
So I like that aspect, that they gave a reason for Annie being the way she is.
Yes.
Because she did come from a troubled past. I mean, look at Richie. He was a crazy-ass brother.
And her dad was a little loopy, too.
I mean, well, you know, because he didn't have a cochlear implant the way...
Avi was going to get so mad at you.
What?
Because we make fun of the cochlear implant. That's not nice. Uh-huh.
I'm not making fun of it. It's just since I don't think they put it on and put Spike can hear.
They put it on.
Or maybe you know what? Spike turns it off so he doesn't have to listen to all the horrible dialogue. Oh, Spike's like, oh my God, I can't listen to this dialogue anymore. Click.
I'm sorry, man. What'd you say? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. All right. So then let's wrap this storyline up, because it's boring. Ryan comes home. And he sees Emma. She's praying by covering her eyes. I thought that was so cute. And then Greenlee brings him a Christmas tree. It's very sweet. But in the meantime, people, they have decided to break up. And Greenlee's going to everybody. She's telling Erica. She's telling Jerkson. She's telling everybody. She's telling Kenzel that they're breaking up. That they've been so evil and horrible. And life is terrible. They cannot be together. And I'm glad. And then Aiden gives the guard $1. To get him in to see Annie.
Hey, wait a minute. That wasn't a guard. That was like an orderly or something. He was hot.
Oh, wow.
Did you? What is up with all these beautiful people working in Pine Valley? That guy was cute. Anyway, he let Aiden in.
And Annie wanted to tell him a secret.
And this was my favorite moment of the week.
Yours
was a thong. This was my favorite moment.
Annie says, get closer. And then...
she punches him right where he got shot. I lived. Yeah. I was like... And see, and if they don't pick up from this on Monday, because my first scene on Monday is I want to see Annie on top of Aiden, shoving her big thumb into his hole and going, "Leader, you British little motherfucker."
Oh, that would be exciting.
I kept playing it over and over again. The fact that Annie hit him, I was like, yes, yes. I was so happy. That was the best moment of the day.
It would be funny if she did that, right? If she was like trying to really hurt him in his little bullet hole, but then like when the guard came in, she pretended like she was having sex with him. Oh.
I like that. I like that. Oh, Melissa Claire Egan, you are like, you go, girl. We love you. You crack me up. All right.
Talk about Erica.
If we must.
She's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Anyone ever thought she wouldn't be just fine.
She got stabbed on Monday, and by Wednesday she was making plans on Fusion. Nothing happened.
Nothing did happen, really. It was just a nuisance.
They do that a little bit on As the World Turns, and it annoys me on As the World Turns too. Paul got shot on Monday, and by Wednesday he was hanging up the Christmas tree.
I gotta tell you something, you're not gonna like it.
What?
When she was lying in that bed and on the gurneys and stuff.
Yeah.
She was speckled with makeup.
Oh, I didn't think so. I think she looked good.
Thick with makeup.
Where? When she was on the phone?
When she was on the hospital bed. I was like, damn, if you took like a speckle shiv thing, like...
I'm not going to agree with you on that.
I knew it.
She always looks good.
Now listen, okay, fine. Binks works up some tears and stuff, and I mean, it's supposed to be this, like, great moment because Erica's going to be okay. But I'm just, you know she's going to be fine. There's no drama if you know what's going to happen. I liked Adam being all proud that he donated the blood and he kept
that was her. Weird. That was all, the Adam Erica thing is very forced and it's very weird. And like he told her, didn't he tell her something to give her, like motivate her to like live? Like he said some stupid, she goes, in your dreams, Adam. She's like supposed to be on her deathbed and she's like, you know, I don't know. It was all corny.
Well, even worse, she comes back on Thursday after losing in Dancing with the Stars. And and she's in her hospital bed and she's looking at proof that Randy has brought her from her photo
shoot. And let me tell you something, and she was fine as dandy. She didn't, even when she moved, she didn't even do it like a, oh, that hurts. No, she was fine.
She says to Randy, you're a star. You're a star. These pictures are electric.
You're not a good actress, but you are beautiful.
Are you sick? Hear me out here. I am so sick of the paper doll storyline. Even in soaps, I'm sick of it. It's been done 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
70s Tad Jenny in the 80s. Yes.
Tad was the model that went around. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah.
He like was never on time. He yeah. didn't show up.
What was the name of the perfume he did?
Oh, Machismo. My God. I love
right?
it.
Machismo.
I think he said Machismo.
Oh, I know. I missed those. Oh.
I had that. We can't I played
talk,
that.
Wait, we can't talk about all my. We can't
I
talk about.
That on
I know.
One of episodes
we
once.
Can't talk about all because I got. I start crying. Ghost go.
The cheesiest
I'm gonna start crying.
Ever.
Oh my God, I missed those days.
David notices Randy. He says, "Have we met?"
So you
there.
He was a John.
Easy.
Yeah. And no, that's not a spoiler. That's called obvious.
That's called obvious. Okay, so then Erica gets to wear a damn fine nightgown in that
2 days in a row, no less.
Beautiful. And different ones each day.
Yeah. She had like she had a white one on Thursday that made her look like some kind of goddess, some Greek goddess. And then on Friday, she had this brown one that made her look seductive and like sexy. I was like, woo.
I'm also sick of the whole fusion storyline where we're supposed to be enthralled or into this whole stupid storyline about Erica taking over fusion. And even Binks is in on it. And it Binks is defending her mother and her sister from Greenlee. I mean, it's just so stupid. Erica and Adam had a nice moment on Friday, no?
When
he brought all the flowers and he asked her to stay over and she said no and then he gave her a kiss on the cheek. Alright, fine, I agree.
It's forced.
I'm trying. Listen, people want to hear some positive stuff about the show. I'm
That's
trying.
Not positive. They're forcing them together. The characters have too much history for them to be playing patty cake like this. And again, they're regressing Erica.
What was the whole thing about her telling Adam she couldn't stay with him and then asking Jerkson?
And then Jerkson turned her down.
He gave her one rose.
Yeah.
She was pissed.
So she decides to go stay at Adam's. Like if she's still like 22 and playing these games with men.
Can I say something though?
I hate what they're doing to Erica.
If you're Erica Kane and you get a single cheap ass white rose from your former ex-husband. I throw it away too. She threw that shit away.
But see, this is what pisses me off because when Barbara and James were writing Erica, they advanced Erica's character. They made her grow up. And Chuck Pratt is regressing her character at lightning speed. She's acting more bimbo. And so I don't like this Erica. This is not my fierce Erica Kane. This is like Erica from like 1977. And not even then, because at least then she was well written.
62 years old, people. She don't need to be an old geezer because she's too beautiful for that, but she needs to grow up. Sorry.
I don't like it. I don't like what they're doing.
Sorry, Charlie. You got to accept it. She needs to grow up.
Okay, you talk about this because I hate him. Go ahead.
Fine. I love Zach. He hates Zach. That was when the assistant, beginning of the week, the assistant comes by with a package for Zach. And she really looked like a hot tranny mess.
You're so hard. I now gotta see if I still have it on the DVR. Because I really don't remember.
I wasn't sure. Look, I was looking for an Adam's apple.
Look, I try to zone out Zach. I can't take him.
All right, fine.
I didn't like him when he was on One Night to Live or Port Charles, and I don't like him here.
And Reese was in her skinniest outfit yet, wearing them tight Kendall. Remember when Kendall got hit by the tornado? And she was wearing those tight leggings and then boots.
Reese had them.
But
they were still baggy.
She was swimming in them.
They were like what are those flare pants from the 70s? They were like bell bottoms.
Kendall sent Zach a Red Wings jersey, which was very sweet, except she's half dead, so it was a little bit weird for Zach. And
well, she thought in advance. She said, "You know, I'm going to be in a coma next month. Let me set this out now."
It was good thinking.
Good thinking on your part, Kendall.
So then Reese says something like to indicate as if Kendall's not going to wake up, And Zach goes crazy on her.
All right. I gotta interject here.
Yes.
This has been going on for like 2 weeks now with Zach taking his abuse.
Mentally abusing her.
Look, I am over the whole misogynistic tone that this show is taking with men yelling and like threatening women. First of all, Zach, what is up your ass that you're taking all your frustration and anger out on Reese?
Only on Reese. 1 minute you're nice to her, the next minute you're like mentally abusing her.
I do not like this aspect.
She's gonna be in the psych ward with Blandy pretty soon.
But what is up with that? Why are they doing that? It's disgusting.
She has Juggy Biggs to save her. That's good. Reese tells Binks what happens, and Binks says that Kendall has to come home. She tells Zach, and Zach says, it's already done. Already done.
Wait, you know what? You know how when we get a soap couple, we put their two names together? That's what we need to do with Binks and her breath. Let's call her Jinx from now on.
Jinx. I like Bubianca.
Bubianca. Oh, I love Bubianca. Bubianca. That's her new name.
When we were little, Bubianca. We used to be a woman at the pool. She used to swim at the pool in a white bathing suit, like a white tank suit, and it had no lining. So she would go in the water and come out. So we call her the booby lady. So every day we would go to that pool and see the booby lady. It's true. You never had a booby lady.
Yes, that's why I'm laughing. We had to see.
Everybody has a booby lady at the pool.
Everybody in the Bronx has that.
A booby lady. I swear she knew that thing was see-through.
Oh.
And I was only 5 or 6, so I didn't think nothing of it. But now it's like, now I know she got her kicks off it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody got a booby lady. Everybody got a booby lady. All right, so then she comes home. Kendall comes home. Kendall's body comes home from Canada. And I have to tell you, I'm missing Coma Kendall, like the talkative Coma Kendall. That provided hours of entertainment, that talkative Coma Kendall. Talking Coma Kendall. And then everyone's at the hospital and Christmas music is playing and Reese and Bianca and Zach, they all take shifts talking to Kendall. Greenie comes in for a shift. I liked it. Greenie comes in for a shift, right? She goes and she sees Reese and Bianca, and Bianca and Reese kiss, and Greens rolls her eyes and turns her head away. Did you notice that?
Oh, I noticed it.
I thought that was pretty funny.
No, it was.
Anyway, then everyone has to give the dumbass ode to Kendall. Ode to Kendall. Remember that?
Yes.
Remember when Adam gave his ode to Kendall? I love that. I miss that. But anyway, Binks talks to her, then Greens. And like, you know things are bad on All My Children when Bianca gives a kick-ass monologue and gets all emotional and crying and you just don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah. It's dumb.
I felt nothing. And the other dumb thing was the elf jig.
What jig? They cut to commercial, and when she came back, it was done. It was over with.
She danced. She fell over a box. She fell into Zach's arms. It looked like he was going to have sex with her.
Yeah. And then what was up with that?
Her away like she's a common hooah. Okay.
You noticed that too then?
Yeah, it's like okay. She's a hooah.
But what was the point of that look between her and Zach? Like, is that where they're going? Are we supposed to believe that Zach,
who's
supposed to be mourning his wife in a coma, is already ready to screw around with some other woman?
I know what it is.
What?
In his arms, Reese feels exactly the same as Kendall. He's so skinny. Like, his hands
are eyes on a stick. Eyes on a stick.
That's what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. Every time he looks at her, he thinks of Kendall. That's what it is.
I didn't like that. If that's where they're going, I don't like it. It's tired and stupid. I don't like it.
Well, Zach heads back to the hospital where Erica is talking to Kendall now. And Erica says, oh, Kendall, listen to the Christmas music. Your favorite Christmas carol is playing.
Which one was it? Carol of the Bells?
It was Good King Wenceslas.
Dun, 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 dun. That one?
Who the hell would, if you had
that
to
one?
Name, yes. Okay. If you had to name your favorite Christmas carol, would you pick Good King Wenceslas?
No, it would be either Carol of the Bells or Little Drummer Boy.
That's what I was going to say. Little Drummer Boy, Silent Night.
No, I don't like Silent. You know what version of Silent Night I like? Gloria Estefan.
Yes, but at least it would count for something popular. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever hear Gloria Estefan's version or see the video?
Oh, I gotta watch it. I gotta listen to it.
No, but the video makes the song. Really? Oh my god.
I love Gloria Estefan.
I never see. Oh my god. I gotta be in the video. No, I'm sorry. I gotta just say this one thing. Because Silent Night, she did this video, but it was the video is of like all the war torn stuff going on in the country. Oh. So it's opposite of what the song. Oh, it's the most intense thing. Google Gloria Estefan Silent Night. You'll love it. All right, go ahead.
All right, fine. And then, all right, so all this happens, and then, like, he talks to David.
Uh-huh.
Zach talks to David. Mm-hmm. He gets the real deal, the really, really, really deal, really dilly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something like that. He gets the real deal, and David tells him that Kendall's probably not going to wake up. And so he's all upset. He says he's not going to tell anybody, but then he goes home, he lights a fire, and who does he tell? Reese.
Yeah, I thought that was a horrible thing to put Reese in that position. How are you going to have Reese keep a secret like that from her lover, her woman? Because let me tell you something. If I was Bianca and I found out that this bitch knew that my sister was, like, going to die and didn't tell me, and then she died, I would be all up on her like, what the hell's your problem? Why didn't you tell me? That's my sister. And Jackson's considered putting her in that position. I didn't like that.
This is weird. Wherever this is going, it's
weird.
I'm going to talk real quick about David and Crystal and JR and Amanda.
Oh, my God. I didn't like this at all.
David is cackling his way through those confusion scenes at the beginning of the week. And why is Amanda entertaining his sorry ass? And I have a question for you, logistically. He gave her $500,000. She keeps saying how she wants to help or doesn't want to help, or she's going to do it, she's not going to do it. How does she get to decide, after accepting $500,000 from the man, that she's not going to carry out this stupid plan? Do you know what I'm saying? Logistically? Isn't that sort of like a binding agreement? $500,000?
Well, where is he going to go? To the police to complain about this?
I think it's weird.
He's going to say, hey, Jesse, I was paying her $1 million to drive JR to, like, drink again, and she's, like, not living up to her end. It's not like he can go to court about this.
Well, on a good note, at least Quack, Crystal with a K, is looking much more like a grieving mother. She's finally got her hair up in the ponytail and less makeup, which makes me happy. She goes to see Angie in the hospital for advice. And, I mean, they're such good actors together. They have nice scenes, you know. And Angie advises her, you know, to stay the hell away from David, you know, because she tells Angie.
Yeah, I like their scenes. They're about, beautiful together.
And then David comes around, and he takes advantage of a grieving Crystal, and they start making out in a hospital room, like common trash.
Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I got so unnerved by those scenes. Like, it just, like, I literally felt sick watching it.
I did too.
I mean, these are two grown adults, not two 16-year-olds.
Her wedding ring was on. Her big, thick, gold band wedding ring.
And then they're making around like making out like kids around the corner. And then Angie comes around.
Yep.
And Angie, and I thought I was watching an after school special because Angie goes, Crystal. And I was just like, this is so corny. I was like, what is this?
I liked it, though. I
Angie. No. I
do. I love Angie.
No. I liked Angie afterwards. I liked Angie when she had her scenes with Crystal and David, and she told both of them off.
Yes.
But that moment was just awkward.
Well, Angie does. Angie gives David what for. And it was nice. I wrote down that it was nice to see two talented, mature adults act together in a scene that could actually act. He tells Angie that his job is fixing broken hearts, and that's what he intends to do.
I know, but that dialogue was so... I mean, I'll give them credit, because the two of them are so good that they made the scene work. But when you look at that dialogue was stupid.
The best line, though, was when she left it. She goes, idiot.
Yeah, I know she did idiot. That. Idiot.
I loved it. So then, all right, the next day, you have Tad getting ready to, like, do decorating the tree and stuff with Kathy, and the Hubbards are coming over and stuff, and Crystal wakes up from a nap. She's wearing a negligee. Who naps in a negligee? She looks hot. You do?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I don't wear women's clothes. I'm just kidding. See.
Just like I said, how would you feel if you were going to sleep with a man and he had panties on? Ladies' panties.
Are they edible?
All right. Enough about that. So then... she's wearing a negligee. She's looking all dazed and confused. And she snaps at poor little Kathy, who found that little cow ornament. So sad. Kathy doesn't know which way to run. First she runs the wrong way, and then she runs up
but
to
see,
the roof.
This doesn't make no sense. The last time we saw Kathy, she was still evil and plotting against Crystal. Now she's scared of Crystal?
She likes Crystal? She's really going to get Crystal now.
See, this is
now
bad writing. They No, that's the only thing I hope not. I hope not
was
evil
that,
Kathy.
Was that an Esiston and Brown?
No.
Choice?
No.
You sure it wasn't? And they just got lost, like Carmen got lost?
No.
In the black hole of storylines?
No, this was Chuck Pratt's doing.
All right. Well, then we cut over to David. He has bought Babe her headstone, and I didn't like how the headstone read. Didn't make sense to me. Babe's name was not Babe Arabella Carrie Chandler. It was Arabella, quote unquote, Babe Carrie Chandler.
I'm surprised
her nickname was Babe.
I'm surprised that he put the Chandler on there, being that she wasn't married to JR at the time of her death.
But she was married to him.
When did they get married?
She was married to him a couple times before that.
But so, she wasn't married to him now. She died.
When you're divorced, a lot of women don't change their name after they divorce.
Anyway, I thought it was... Well, he hates the Chandler. Why would he... He's the one paying for it.
I thought it was good, actually. I thought it was respectful. I noticed people... She was born in 1983. Would make her 25 years old, years young.
I buy that.
Yeah, I buy that. That works. Does that math work, though? It was so
with
funny.
JR? No.
No. What it made me think about was, could Crystal have been in college in 1983?
No.
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 So that's my only gripe with that.
Neither David either.
David too.
Please, David was on Guiding Light in 1983.
Thank you.
No, actually, I think he came out in 84, 85. But anyway, okay.
Anyway, so then he's with Amanda when he unveils it. I just find that whole thing weird. I love when he fantasizes about the doofus grown-up little A.
Okay. That guy was a doofus. He was not.
He was
not. I liked him. He was hot. I wanted them to make him a regular.
You like those doofy guys.
I do. I like nerdy boys. He wasn't nerdy. He was hot.
No, he wasn't.
You are crazy. You like that actor.
You like that geeky JR. Remember that geeky JR? With Lauren or with Laura, whatever her name was.
No, I hated that JR.
Oh, really?
You talking about the last one before they brought Jacob Young?
Yeah.
That idiot who couldn't act the male model?
Horrible.
No, I like...
I can't believe he got I like, how he looked.
I like Jonathan Bennett, the one before him. The one that they... The one that they wanted to...
The singer.
No. You're missing a JR, honey.
I am?
Yes, Jonathan Bennett. Hottie, Jonathan Bennett was
Why
on...
Why am I blanking on the singer's name?
Jesse McCartney.
Jesse McCartney, I love him!
Oh, he's another hottie.
I love him.
Jonathan Bennett was the one who was playing it between Jesse McCartney and the doofus. And they were going to sign him to a contract, and he was a smarty. He was like, oh, I'm not signing a contract with this show. And he booked it. Now he's not big, but he's doing things. He does nighttime. Well, he does films and stuff.
I'm sorry. That little A was a doofus.
No, I liked Grown Up Little A.
He's going to Stanford Med for cardiology, but what I love most about the Grown Up Doofus Little A was the fact that David standing next to him had not a lick of gray hair.
Yeah, that was amazing to me, too. I love the fact that David fantasizes himself 20 years from now and he still looks the same.
He looks the same.
And looks exactly the same.
Listen, maybe I would do the same thing if I fantasized about myself in 20 years. I would look like I was 22.
Okay.
Anyway. Little A, back in the real world, Little A thinks mommy sent him an ornament.
Again, Little A outshines everybody. He made me cry.
He picked his nose. It was funny.
Did he? I didn't notice that.
A quick pick. It was cute. I thought that Mandy had a nice moment with him when she explained who sent the ornament.
Yeah, it was cute.
So, and then with the whole thing, when Crystal ran out on Tad, back to that, she ran out to go see the grave. And went to see David.
Oh my God. And wait, you forgot to tell everybody. We forgot to tell everybody that when she left Tad's house, she left in her negligee. She just put her jacket. That was so stupid.
It was a hot negligee. I will not deny it.
That's like you're going to go out. So if you had a hot negligee, you go grocery shopping to the A&P with that?
No.
You go grocery shopping to Trader Joe's?
I'm going
to
respect it. You know why? Because at least she's grieving and not thinking straight. So at least I like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, Tad doesn't know what to do. Pimped out Jesse Santa comes over. Did you like his pimped out Jesse Santa?
Yeah. See, this is the moments that I like. I actually was like, why don't we have more of those?
Yeah.
I mean, the dialogue was a little weird.
And the little Santa Claus.
Yeah, like Jesse, Angie, and Tad together. That's what I want to see more of.
Yeah.
That's what I liked.
Yeah. Well, Tad was a mess.
But I thought it was interesting that Jesse and Angie were all happy. Like if they didn't have their own drama going on in their lives. You see how they forget their own dramas.
I'm not even covering that this week. I didn't even write about it.
Did they even show them?
Yeah, they did. They showed Natalia. So telling Angie that she wanted Angie
to die. How bizarre were those scenes?
Oh, yeah.
How badly written were those scenes?
The whole thing.
Oh, those poor actresses. I don't think they paid them enough.
They really don't.
Okay.
Anyway, Angie knows exactly, because Tad tells Angie and Jesse he doesn't know where Crystal went.
She knows.
Exactly where Crystal went. And she goes to David's house, because by this point, David and Crystal have ended up back at the
mansion. David picks her up at the graveside. That was another corny moment for me. The fact that he like lifted her up and carried her away in a negligee at the grave. With a fur coat. Was it a fur coat she was wearing?
Something.
He
made a cup of warm milk for Crystal and spiked it with some libidazone or something. Don't you think?
See, this is what I'm talking about. You're bringing this character back to make him one-dimensional. I want to see the David that was around when Anna was there, when Leo was there. The one thing that I did find interesting was that Tad owned up to Jesse that does this make me look like, you know, am I a bastard or what is he? He told Jesse, like, am I a piece of crap for not understanding? Yeah, you are, Tad. I'm sorry. The woman just lost her daughter. Mm-hmm. I did think, Tad, you are being a little insensitive. You're being selfish and insensitive. You have both your daughters. She lost just one. And the fact that he compared it to Dixie, I'm going to say this again. Losing a child is not the same as losing a spouse. Those are two. I'm not saying that one is more powerful than the other.
It's very different.
I'm saying is that it's different and you cannot compare them. Yeah. And the fact is that Dixie was the love of your life. And that's why it's so horrible for you. This was the daughter that was with her through thick and thin, through years. It was just the two of them. That's important
but
to her.
I wanted to add one thing.
What?
I actually do. Okay. Even though I'm completely creeped out by Crystal and David, it's almost like watching a train wreck. Like, I have my eyes across, my hand across my face, but I could see through my fingers. Because I like the fact that Crystal is breaking down and being like a crazy hooah.
Okay,
I kind of like that. It's dark. It's dark behavior.
No, I'm not disliking that.
Tad is such a good guy, and she's acting so dark. It's like, reminds me of when Nina cheated on Cliff. Because Cliff was the love of her life, and Nina had this dark side, and she slept with Steve.
Steve Jacoby. Oh my God!
But wasn't that very dark? It was like there was this angel side of Nina, but there was this devil side too. And as much as she loved her husband, she still had sex with another man. It was like dirty sex. You know what I'm saying? That was good stuff.
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about Steve. he passed away in real life.
No.
Eight? Girl, yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
He was on another world, yeah. Aww. And he still looked, let me tell you something, when he was on another world, he still looked good, except all the hair was gray, and he looked even hotter. He looked like a hot Adam Chandler.
Because
he still had the beautiful baby face with the full lips and that beautiful nose and that beautiful birthmark on his cheek, but all the hair was silver. He was hot to the end, let me tell you.
He was gay?
I think, you know what, he always claimed that he was bi, but okay. I think he was gay. Okay. I think, I mean, you know, that's the thing that actors say, like, when they get busted. Yeah. They're like, they, you know, especially in that day and time period, because this was years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he was bi. You know who else is gay in real life? Oh, I shouldn't say.
We can't. I know who you're going to say, and we can't say it.
Let me see. Who are you going to tell me? No, because you told me about that, but I'm not.
I'm telling you. Yes, don't say him. Don't say him.
We can say people that are off the show. Jeremy, remember Jeremy, John LeClaire?
Big Queen.
Big Mo.
Big Queen.
Big Mo. Listen. There's a woman on the show that's a licky-licky too in real life.
No, are you talking about On One Life to Live?
I'm talking about I Know My Children.
Ooh, you didn't know that? Oh, you didn't know that?
And you know who I always thought was a little bit butchy too?
Who?
Remember the original Lauren Ramon who played Laura? Not Laura, little Laura. The first adopted Laura.
I don't remember.
The big redhead. The one that was really dykey looking.
The one that Leo was in love with?
No, see, that was the second Laura.
Oh.
That was the cute little blonde Laura. No, I'm talking about the...
No, Leo was not in love with her. I'm talking about the one before. Oh, was that Becca? That was Rebecca. No, Becca?
No, that was that Becca, that hillbilly.
Oh, yeah,
no,
her.
We don't like... Okay, anyway, getting back.
We're
off. We're getting... Woo, shit. All right, let's go ahead.
All right, listen. I'm going to give you a timeline. We got a few minutes to talk about Taylor and Brock, and the rest of the show is One Life to Live. And
right.
We got to finish in 8 minutes.
All right, let's do it.
All right. I don't really know what to say about the storyline because I don't love it anymore. I used to love it. It's been dragged out for me. The whole pairing of Colby with Brat makes me freaking nuts because he's not, let's face it, people, the gentleman, J.R. Martinez, he is not an actor, but he has a real life believability and ease that makes him nice to watch, but he's still not the strongest actor. So to pair him with Colby is just like, it's watching Adam and Jerkson, in my opinion. It's like nails on a chalkboard, and I hate it. And I hate how in the beginning of the week she's at the confusion party and she's acting all fake nervous.
Oh my God, that was so awful. Like, those scenes were awful.
It would have been so easy to have Annie stab her. It would have been so easy. Thank you.
Oh, that was good.
It would have been so easy.
You cried. crack me up sometimes, I gotta tell you.
And then Amanda gets blabby in front of Taylor and Colby, and then revealing about this long lost love of Taylor's that's alive or something, and Colby acts more fake nervous. And then Randy is paired with Taylor and takes Taylor home. And it's like, just like I'm offended by Randy acting opposite Elizabeth Rodriguez, who plays Carmen, I'm offended by Randy acting opposite Beth Ehlers, who plays Taylor. They're too good for her. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I'm sorry. Too talented for her. I know I'm mean, but I don't like her.
Okay.
Anyway. Then meanwhile, Frankie leaves Randy to bust Brat. He finally tells Brat to tell, you know, LT, or else he's going to tell her. And then at the same time, you have this adorable moment where Taylor and Brat are both doing, like, physical activities. She's doing sit-ups. He's doing push-ups.
I thought they were both doing push-ups.
No, she was doing sit-ups because she was in the bed, remember?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she doesn't really have her legs.
So oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Duh.
It got hard.
Okay.
Anyway, and Frankie... Who did he remind you of in that black turtleneck and that leather vest?
Wait a minute. Who's that man? Chef!
Thank you! I was like, who
is the man? Chef!
It was funny. He well, actually...
Well,
he,
you know who his father is.
Who?
His grandfather.
Who?
On the show, Antonio Fargas, Huggy Bear. Played his grandfather, Angie's father. You didn't know that?
Oh, my God.
You didn't know that?
No, I forgot about that.
So Frankie's just channeling his inner Huggy Bear.
Anyway, then Jake, he goes and tells Jake. Frankie tells Jake, so then Jake's all like, oh, I got to tell Brat to tell, come clean.
Yeah, Jake's like, yeah, you got to tell, you got to tell. So that was Jake, good of Jake. I like that.
Iver.
Jake Iver, you did good, because that's the right thing to do.
And then, I mean, it was a little convoluted for me. Brat denies to Jake that he wants Taylor, and he's about to leave when Taylor and Frankie go to see him, because Frankie spills the beans to Taylor.
How horrible were those, that scene, though? I felt like Frankie was just basically like, oh, by the way, Brat's alive. Like, it was so matter of fact. Like, there was no, I didn't like his performance. And it wasn't so much, I thought Beth Ehlers did a good job. I just felt like in the writing, it wasn't really there for me.
I think that
the writing was subpar. I think the writing was subpar for her.
The writers, anything good.
I know, but what I'm saying is I think the writers let them both down in those scenes. They could have made those scenes more powerful.
I agree. She sees Brat and she's shocked, and she falls into his arms, and she's shocked because she's shocked to see him alive, number one, and number two, she's not used to how he looks. So we think at that point he kind of rejects her big time, and we think that he's leaving town, but he actually stops by the hospital one more time, and they talk through a curtain, and then she pulls it back. And this is where, for me, Beth Ehlers is magic. She touches him. She doesn't really look at him at first. She just touches his chest. She touches his arms. She takes off his hat, and then she strokes his face. His face is very messed up. I mean, he's barely got eyebrows, you know, his ear. He doesn't have an ear, and he's just touching everything. And she says to him, you're all here. I can see that now. And I think that I think she's amazing.
No, I thought it was good stuff. The two of them together was good.
I believed every line of it, every minute
of it. The two of them together was really, really good.
But he leaves anyway. He says goodbye, Taylor. He tells her she had lost her engagement ring and he was going to replace it. And he tells her that he never replaced it.
Yeah, because he said I was never going to marry you. It was just that,
was
you know,
like,
we were...
He was like, we were just Iraq.
That was it.
After that. And then she is stunned by this. And then in the last scenes, you know, he sits in the park. She's like crying, upset.
Right.
And he sits at the park and he's staring at the ring.
Oh, I
and
cried.
He was crying.
I cried.
I loved it.
It was great. But see, that's what I'm saying. I'm rooting for them. I'm not rooting for Jake and her.
I am too. But what bothers me is like all the crapola leading up to it and all the blah, blah, blah. And making Brat talk so much. He's not a strong actor. Don't make him talk so much. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just get to the meat of the story and let's see what he and Beth and he and Taylor can do together. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Well, I think he comes across better when he's working opposite better actors.
Yes, of course.
So that's my thing. It's like I believe the scenes with him and Taylor.
Beautiful.
I mean, I'm not going to say that but there's something there. There is something there. I'm rooting for them, though. I think the execution has been all wrong about this. I think the fact that they kept pushing Jake and her, and it's because now it's awkward because like Jake is in love with her, but like she obviously is still in love. See, this is what I'm saying. like, I think it would have been better if, like, Jake would never have really let his intentions know. And it would have been more heartbreaking if we, the viewers, knew, but she never knew that Jake was in love with her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, just bad execution.
You got 2 minutes for One Life to Live.
Girl, let me tell you, I don't know, 2 minutes can do justice. One Life to Live has been so, first of all, unlike All My Children, One Night to Live on Thanksgiving Day gave me an episode to be thankful for. They gave me that episode where Brody was taking a shower, so I was very thankful for that repeat because that was hot to watch over again. But All My Children should have given me some classic All My Children Thanksgiving. Anyway, One Night to Live was smoking. They picked up Thanksgiving with the regular episode on Monday, and it was just a thing where they dealt with all these other storylines that were going on. But by the end of the episode, everybody was at Carlotta's new restaurant called the Buenos Dias Cafe, and everybody was together for Thanksgiving, the entire cast, and it was beautiful to watch. The songs were beautiful, but the thing was that even though everybody was together for Thanksgiving, you knew that certain people had issues with certain people, but it was like, okay, Marty, it's Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was good. And the rest of the week has been like incredible to watch. I mean, there was this great scene where Dr. Joplin finally blames herself for the and it was just incredible acting on everybody's part. Marcy, Erica,
she admitted to it fully.
Yeah, and the thing was
even
that
even though it's not true.
Yeah, even though, because she believes it to be,
she didn't make that mistake.
Yeah, she didn't make that, but she thinks she did. And the thing that was amazing was that Dr. Joplin, who's like, I guess, a recurring character in Under Five or whatever, she gave a great performance. This is what I'm talking about. You, when you get people that are supporting players, you need to get some powerful actors. And One Night to Live does that. This woman was incredible. Like, I was sad to see her character go because her character felt so much guilt that she actually killed herself. She shot herself and cooked. And it was powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. And the thing about One Night to Live is that everybody's affected because Nora was outside the door when the gun went off and Nora heard it. And the way they filmed it, you kind of thought that Todd had shot the cop to get out of, like, but it was not. It was near Dr. Joplin. So, I mean, everything was really riveting this week. And you know, Dorian has been on fire this week. I mean, Robin Strasser has been amazing. But as much as everybody's been good and Tess has been good, and I don't know about you, but the chemistry between Tess and Brody is like, oh my God, they are so hot together.
Tess and Brody.
Yes.
Jess and Brody.
Well, I mean, eventually she's going to become Jessica again. But all I know is that those two actors have chemistry.
Yeah.
More chemistry, I think, than she had with Nash. I was never a big Nash fan. But the best moment of One Night to Live was the last 2 seconds of One Night to Live this week because I'm going to cry here.
Cry again.
The most incredible, talented Florencia Lozano is back as Tia Delgado, and it was like she never left. She had like 2 lines and she delivered them so flawlessly, and already her and Trevor St. John obviously have chemistry. She looks the same as she did in 1999 as far as I'm concerned. I will go back for you. I will marry you and have kids with you and be loyal and be only with you because you turn me on. You don't understand. I had the major hard on for her in 1999. I don't care if you wear men's thong. This woman is one of the hottest women, and nothing turns me on more than seeing somebody who is in their element. I think she's one of the most talented actresses. I remember back in the late 90s watching her and thinking, everybody wants to know where the next Susan Lucci, the next Kim Zimmer, the next Robin Strasser is. This actress is the real deal. And I was devastated when she left Daytime. So I'm glad that she's back to One Night to Live. I'm hoping that Frank V and Ron C realize how important Taya is to the show and how important this actress is to the show, and they keep her on and do whatever it takes to keep her on because Taya Delgado is needed on One Night to Live. Love me some Taya. Tune in Monday because Monday is the big thing. She is back, people, with a vengeance.
I will be tuning in, people.
And I can't wait for her and Blair to get together because her and Blair used to have some scenes. Oh my God. It's going to be hot. And just some little One Night to Live spoilers. In case you haven't heard, David Vickers is coming back to town. And boy, is there a storyline and a half with David coming back to town.
Are we allowed to spoil
One Night to Live? No, we can't. I'm not going to spoil One Night to Live because everybody who watches One Night to Live is enjoying it and they're loving it. No, I just said David's coming. That was in the papers. Everybody knows David's coming back. But I'm telling you right now, it's a funny-ass storyline that's going to involve a lot of people. And it is cracking me up from what I hear what's going on with them.
Did little David Vickers leave with Tina?
Yes. Oh, that was another good thing. We actually thought that Tina was gone already, but they surprised us with week of Thanksgiving.
I've been to Paradise, but I've never been to
That's how you know a gay man writes the show and produces it because that is the gayest song. It was campy and fabulous, and Andrew Evans was beautiful, and like, Brian Franz, you're an ass. I'm sorry. You're an ass because we need our Tina on One Night to Live too.
Suck it. Brian Franz.
Suck it.
All right, people. So we are so happy to be back with you this week. If you want to write us, please email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can try our MySpace page. It's a little neglected, our poor little MySpace page. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website, because that is not neglected. Go to www.pinevalleypodcast.com and click onto the blog site and leave your comments, your thoughts, your inspirations, your drawings, your recordings, anything you want to share. We would love to hear it. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Here's a little something just for you.
If there's one thing we love here at The Soup, it's the stale bagels E leaves out for us every Thursday. If there's another thing we love, it's when our fans do our jobs for us. Here is an actual email from one of those fans. This is real. Watch All My Children Wednesday episode. Cameron Matherson, Ryan Lavery, is wearing a thong. At one point early in the show, he is talking, and when he stands up, you can clearly see he is wearing a thong. Go Navy, beat Army. Despite the severe confusion this email caused, we found the clip. Bye. Congratulations, Soup fan. We're sending you this prize for your effort. Seacrest won't even know they're missing.